Steve, thanks. Hi, everybody. It's Bill Left. It's Wendy Snyder making what we hope will be a triumphant return to the airwaves.
I feel like I haven't been here in a couple of weeks.
You haven't been here in a couple of weeks, so that could be part of it.
Well, I welcome myself back.
Send yourself a card. Isn't that nice of Steve? Mm-hmm. All the way in the newsroom to throw a nice word your way.
I've been listening to the station, thanks to a bunch of people who filled in for us. You took some days as well.
I took a couple days off.
You had a birthday.
Just to refresh, Wendy. Just to refresh. That's all. But I heard a little bit of Pete McMurray, and Jane was in.
Hey, buddy!
Yeah, he said, hey, buddy, to everybody.
Is there such a thing as a little bit of Pete McMurray?
Nope.
No. If you're gonna get a Pete McMurray, you're going to get the jumbo bottle.
The full Pete.
Full metal Pete.
And then he's stealing my bit with a sore knee. You know, he hurt his knee.
What happened there? That's your thing.
I know. Although my knees aren't sore anymore, so he can have it.
So he replaces you on the face of knee pain mantle. I know. That's your hook.
I can feel a little extra verve from you guys today.
We rebooted.
Yeah. Well needed. Was it a nice couple weeks off? Did you get anything done?
Oh, my God, did I get stuff done. Yeah. I grocery shopped. I was at the grocery store, it seemed like, every day to do the prep work. What are you laughing at?
Well, I'm sure your family was happy you took the time off if you were able finally to get to the grocery store.
Well, this was for the big feast, you know. I hosted 12 people, and I cooked. The turkey was awesome. I used Chef Hans's dry brine, which totally worked. Spent 2 days cleaning up, and what
else?
You
mean prior to, not afterwards cleaning up?
No,
cleaning up
I cleaned up before.
Ready.
Yeah. And then I shopped, and then I cooked, and then I cleaned up all the dirty dishes, and then I made curtains.
Well, that was going to be my next question. Did you make any curtains during the break?
Let me ask, did people eat them?
No. That was afterwards. Oh. That was the Friday.
That was
my Black Friday project.
Oh, was to make curtains?
Uh-huh.
Did you make them for yourself or just for... Because it's Giving Tuesday. I think you should give people curtains.
I'm telling you right now, I made cafe curtains for my kitchen, which the little valance on the top and then half the curtain on the bottom.
You don't have to tell us. We know what those are.
Rudy valance?
Yes. And I spent...
I was going to go Liberty valance, Steve, point to Steve.
I borrowed my neighbor Julie's sewing machine. I will never make curtains again. I will spend 5 times the amount just to buy them.
My brain is not accepting you at a sewing machine making curtains.
It was funny. My kids kept looking at me going, what's wrong with this picture?
So did you just put the little loops on the end? Is that what you...
You made them from scratch?
Yes.
No, but you took a piece of... cloth, right? And then you said cafe, so you sewed the loop to go over the rod, or how do they attach to the rod?
No, there's just a pocket.
I sewed a two-inch pocket,
right? And then you slide the rod in.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Nick DiGiulio. Take it. And then I hemmed it, and on the sides, on the bottom, they're beautiful.
I am currently on Etsy.com, and I see a shop called Curtains by Wendy. That can't possibly be you.
I did them in a weekend.
Is that standard for curtains? Because
I don't know.
We do this crazy thing where we buy them and it takes less than a minute.
Well, that's why they're so outrageously expensive, Bill, because it takes days and days.
It does. I guess it does.
It's bad lighting, but I will show you the cafe curtains I made.
Picture. Yeah, these are professional quality curtains you've just made.
Open the curtains, it'd be better lighting.
We can put... That's a good point.
And they work like you have a string and you pull it and they open. They don't work that way? You can slide them on the
rod.
Oh, that's also good. I would like the... I'm a more curtain
those
traditional.
Those are drapes.
These
are just curtains.
Oh. Will someday you work up to drapes or are you done with this?
You're done.
Because as much as rewarding as it is to see the finished product, it's a lot of work, right?
That's what I said to Jim. I said, next time I'm buying them. I bought 8 yards of fabric. I got tons of sales. It was like $125.
Wow.
Then my labor, if I would have purchased them, it would have been like $300.
But the pride factor
That's what Jim said.
You get to show people come over. You go, how about, did you notice these curtains?
No, it would not have been $300.
Is it 300 for
that? Well, I need 6 panels and 6 valances.
Oh.
That adds up.
Steve, guess what you and I are getting for Christmas?
I'm making you
I just want the valance.
What an unexpected gift that would be.
Is this a valance?
This has got to be a valance.
It was very weird me sitting at the cleaned off dining room table with the sewing machine.
Yeah, it was kind of weird. I can't even imagine it.
Did you put needles in your mouth?
Yes, I did.
You're supposed to.
I totally did.
How's your bobbin?
That's a personal question.
Right. Just curious.
My bobbin needed to be loaded twice.
Oh, again, I went through congratulations.
I haven't sewed since high school.
Yeah?
So it was.
Wow.
Yeah, it was kind of fun.
Very impressive.
Brought me back to home ec class.
It's like bike riding, right? You just jump right back on the sewing machine.
Yeah, that's how it is.
Yep. Honestly, that's what I did.
Have there been
a foot pedal? I'm sorry, foot pedals?
Yes, you have to have a foot pedal.
Because my great aunt had one where she would move her leg to the left, and that would make the. There was a thing underneath the sewing machine. It was like a metal
bar
plate, and then she would move it
like
with her leg.
Yeah, okay. This is a foot pedal.
Oh, all right.
Graduated.
Okay.
We had one of those at our house, Bill, like an antique. It's like a grate almost.
You put your feet
on the grate and go back and forth.
And in my head, it was like, well, at least she's getting some exercise, because she would sit there for hours sewing, and I go, she's going to get clotted up. She's just in one place forever. But no, her leg would move like a third of an inch
just
to the
left.
Just
her left leg, though.
Yeah, not the right leg at all.
It was beefed up.
Right. When she walked, she would only walk in circles, because one of her legs was so strong.
Was her name Eileen?
Yes, my Aunt Eileen. All right, we'll take a quick break, and then there's more of this sort of thing. It's
Bill, today is Giving Tuesday. You have your Black Friday, your Cyber Monday, and now you're Giving Tuesday. And in the studio with us right now is President and CEO of Forefront. His name is Eric Weinheimer. Eric, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for giving of yourself on this Tuesday, Giving Tuesday. You were on with Steve Cochran this morning. Mm-hmm.
At 5-something, right? Right around 5 o'clock?
Is there any better place to be on Giving Tuesday than here? Exactly. WGN.
You hit it.
All right. So we talked about Forefront, and I said you're president and CEO. Please explain what Forefront is.
We are the state association. We're a membership association of nonprofits and foundations, social entrepreneurs, basically organizations that are doing good in the world, having a social impact. And we provide education. We do a lot of advocacy. And we also create campaigns that mobilize our members around issues that are important to them.
Yeah.
Today, we've created this campaign, I'll Give for Giving Tuesday, and the idea is to mobilize people to give more money to causes that they care about.
And that's just it. You have assembled all these different charities on one site.
Correct.
You punch it up, and it's myforefront.org.
Well, the website is I'llGive.com.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
So the campaign is I'll Give for Giving Tuesday, and all people need to do is go to I'llGive.com. But Wendy, your comment is right, is the idea of bringing 900 nonprofits that are listed.
Jeez.
And to be able to search, if I'm someone I want to get involved, I want to support a worthy cause, mm-hmm. I can go to this site and I can search based upon my interests, based upon maybe where I live. So I might be interested in alleviating homelessness in a certain part of the city. I can search for organizations that are addressing that issue in that locale, and then I can see the organizations, I can learn about them. And most importantly, I can make a donation within 4 to 5 clicks on my mobile device sitting on the bus. So it's making it easier for people to connect to causes that they care about, and it's making it easier for them to give.
What is your criteria for which organizations are involved and which are not involved?
All the organizations are 501c3 organizations that are registered with the Attorney General.
So they've been well vetted.
They have been vetted. Good. And we're also, what I think is really exciting, is we've been going through months of training with these organizations and equipping them with the tools and the skills to make it easier for them to connect with donors and to attract the resources that they need. So they've been trained on how to do digital fundraising, how to really take advantage of Giving Tuesday.
And here's the thing. You go to stores, and a lot of times on the little checkout thing, it says, do you want to donate $1 for such and such? Usually I feel guilty, so I'm like, sure, whatever.
Yeah.
But it might not necessarily be something that I want to support. So I love this site, although I can't find it. What is the exact website again?
I'llGive.com.
All right.
I'llGive.com. We're asking people to go on to I'llGive.com. It's a great site. And again, it really allows you to see all the good work that's happening around in Chicago and in Illinois.
It's 1L.
I-L.
Okay,
exactly.
Like Illinois.
Yeah, exactly.
But pronounced I'll Give.
I'll Give. Yes.
This is all tax deductible?
Yes,
it is. Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's a 501c3 organization.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we all have different interests. I like to support homeless animals because mm-hmm. that breaks mm-hmm. my heart. ADHD runs in our family, bipolar, depression, things like that, and homeless organizations. But if you punch that in, you'll have a plethora of things to choose from, won't
exactly.
you?
Exactly. And that's exactly the point. You know, we want donors to be passionate about these causes. And oftentimes it's when you have a personal connection. And so when you can look up the nonprofit and say, this mission really resonates with me, I may or someone in my family may have a personal experience with this issue. And so therefore, you know, we don't want people to be guilted into giving. We want them to really care about the mission and hopefully to invest their resources, but hopefully ultimately invest their time and their talent as well.
Donations go up, I'm trusting, around the holidays, don't they?
They do. Yeah. They do. But what's interesting is, you know, Giving Tuesday has been around for about 7 years now.
Oh, has
and
it?
It is a global campaign. I was just talking to the founder of Giving Tuesday, and he had just come back from a trip to Moscow and St. Petersburg, where they're conducting their own Giving Tuesday campaigns, which I find very interesting. But there was question about whether Giving Tuesday would cannibalize year-end giving, and the research does not bear that
really?
Out. Really? Yeah, it is additive.
Huh.
And that's why I think it's growing and growing, and people get excited about yeah. it.
So it's illgive.com, yes. ILGIVE.com. The leaderboards are up right now, and this just started at midnight. Mm-hmm. I guess last night into today, and it's going to run through midnight tonight. The most raised right now is for the Seguin. Mm-hmm. Is that how you pronounce it?
Yes.
I've mm-hmm. seen it written around. It's for disability mm-hmm. and disabled people. At this point, $54,000 has been raised
that's
since
awesome.
Midnight.
That's awesome. Yeah,
that's fantastic.
And again, we really are. We're out there promoting this. We're doing a lot of social media,
yeah.
doing a lot of advertising, and so you're going to see much more activity as the day goes on.
Eric, sometimes you'll see a foundation, a corporation match funds. If a certain amount of money is donated, they'll match it. Does that go on at all with you guys?
It does.
Yeah.
We have a number of foundations that are participating that for their grantees, yeah. they will do a match for them to participate in I'll Give and to raise money. And some of them tie it to how many new donors you get, or,
uh-huh.
and they have certain benchmarks. But that certainly does entice people to give when they know that there's a match, so that their dollar might be matched, you know, dollar for dollar, and so
right.
their dollars go further.
Great. And it's one-stop shopping. I mean, the most donors right now, the leaderboards, I feel like I have a little tote board
but
going
aren't those
here.
Leaderboards great, though?
They're
really,
pretty fun.
They're very engaging. Yeah.
Easter Seals, DuPage, and Fox Valley is the most donors at this point. The most raised was for the UCP Seguin centers. And here's what the deal is. You go to one place. If everybody could give $5, $10, $20, boy, does that add up.
It really does. And this idea of aggregating donors, right? So what difference does my $10 or $20 gift make? It makes a huge difference when you're mobilizing hundreds, thousands of other people to also contribute $10. And for these organizations that are relying on not only the dollars raised, but also the engagement, the participation.
Mm-hmm.
Once you invest in these organizations, all of a sudden you're part of that community and you can learn more and hopefully you can get more engaged. So it is about the dollars raised, but it's also about the number of participants and the level of engagement.
And when you do a search here, you can find something that you maybe want to help throughout the year, not just mm-hmm. this one day. I'll Give for Giving Tuesday. It's a one-day statewide movement to do good in our own communities. It's right here in Illinois. That's why there's only one L when you punch in illgive.com, ILGIV.com. How did you get hooked up with this? Because, boy, you're helping a lot of people in this 24 hours.
Well, our mission is all about helping the nonprofits to do their best work. And as you know, we have a really difficult environment in which they're operating. Things are changing so dramatically. The needs of communities have not, you know, gone down. They've gone up. And so our mission is to help nonprofits. And so this idea of digital fundraising, which is, you know, growing by leaps and bounds, we need to equip these nonprofits so that they're able to engage new donors, not just their existing donors, but new donors in these new ways of giving. And so this is part of our mission. We love doing it because we know that it's having a direct impact on the communities.
And you are giving of yourself today. Are you going to be on anybody else's show later on today?
I have been on a number. I have been on a number of shows already this morning, and it's been fun. I mean, anytime we have an opportunity to really inform people about ways for them to get engaged, you know, that's just all good news. Good.
He is Forefront President and CEO, making our job to donate money to various causes much easier. His name is Eric Weinheimer, and just go to IllGive.com, I-L for Illinois, I-L-G-I-V-E.com. Thank you so much for giving on this Giving Tuesday. We really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me again.
Thanks, Eric. Really appreciate it.
I'll have a blue Christmas without Bill.
This is from the worst duets of Christmas ever. Horrible selling CD.
It's blue, and what do you know? It is a Tree Time Trend Tuesday, and we're going to hear all about the latest Christmas decorating trends with Tree Time's Lori Kane, who's on the line with us. Lori, how are you?
Great, Wendy. How are you doing?
I've got the blues. Oh.
But in a good way, explain.
Coming, honey.
In a good way. Now, Lori Kane, of course, owner and operator at Tree Time Christmas Creations. And you can go to Tree Time now, and you better get there soon to get your Christmas tree, the most beautiful artificial Christmas trees in all the land. And in fact, we're giving you the chance to win a $200 Tree Time shopping spree so you can update your holiday decor with your favorite trend. You can enter online at WGNradio.com/contests. And Lori, in the studio with us today, we have Melissa Muhlfeld, owner of Avery Graham Interiors. And Lori, you and Melissa can discuss the big trend. It's blue, isn't it, Lori?
Yes. So I'm guessing that Melissa will agree with me here that blue is really hot for home interiors. And a lot of times what's hot for home interiors eventually, maybe a little bit slower, but it comes to Christmas because people want to coordinate their interior look and decor with their Christmas trees. So
now there aren't blue Christmas trees, are there?
Oh, I think there probably are Christmas trees of every color. We don't have blue Christmas trees, but I guess we did. We had a flocked over blue one. So yes, there definitely are even blue Christmas trees.
Now, Melissa, blue is a very warm color. It's a calming color. Why do people like blue so much?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I'd probably describe blue as a cool color.
I'm sorry.
Just because
that's
of
why
the
I'm
nature
not a designer.
Of, the nature of blue itself. But I think people like it for a few different reasons. First, I think it has a really strong history with safety and nobility and religion. If you think of back in Christian history, you know, the paintings of the Virgin Mary around this time of year with Christmas and the blue robe. You think of police officers and the blue uniform or the navy. But I think the other big part of it is nature. But you think of just the earth around us and blue with the calming,
the sea,
right? And the sky.
Yeah.
What are you, a seaman?
I am, as a matter of fact, Wendy. Yes.
But yeah, I think, you know, people are constantly trying to bring nature into their homes, and I think blue is a really great way to do it.
Yeah.
And Lori, so what you can do to incorporate blue into your holiday look is add some of those, I always forget what they're called.
Ornaments.
No, sprigs. What do you, picks?
Oh, we call them picks, yes. So what we're kind of featuring this year and what we're recommending is a lot of times people don't want to redo all of their Christmas decor. You know, they say, I've got a lot of stuff existing. So we're saying just add a couple of, we have these beautiful blue floral picks or these blue kind of natural looking berries. So just add a few of those, and we've added them to like kind of a winter white and some grays or a few areas of blue ribbon, and just have touches of blue. So it'll then kind of give you that, like Melissa's talking about, that calming feel, and it'll tie in with maybe your pillows or your sofa or other things in your house.
Melissa, can you overdo the blue?
Well, I guess it depends on your opinion. I love a beautiful small space and a really deep blue. I think it's just so rich and cozy in a den or in a small powder room. I think that in a larger space with a lighter color of blue, you can really make it feel very spa-like. So I think you probably can overdo blue, but I think blue, you know, has so many positive attributes that it's kind of hard to do that.
When you go with a color like this, do you want to keep it one shade or do you want to vary the shades? How do you want to play that?
So I think it depends. I think that if you're going to do blue and you want to have a more modern look, varying the shades is a nice way to do it because you can take a, no pattern, but just different shades of blue to kind of create some variety in the look. I think if you have a more traditional space and you want to mix blue and white together in a pattern or blues and oranges, blues and reds at Christmas, I think that works really well together as well.
And Laura, you mentioned the blue and gray and off-white, and I'm envisioning that, and that's really beautiful. I've been really loving the deep blue velvet tree skirts, and that's something that can really change the whole look of your tree.
Yeah, we have a beautiful deep blue velvet tree skirt that we love, and it just gives it a sophistication and a richness. It really does just give you, it can just update your tree with just a tree skirt and maybe some simple ribbon, and you've got kind of a whole new look.
We put up our Tree Time tree over the weekend, and my wife has never done this before, Lori, but she put a red ribbon all around the tree, and what it did is it brings out the red and all the ornaments, even things around the tree, pillows and stuff. It makes the colors jump more. Same thing could happen with blue, right?
Absolutely.
Right, so that ribbon, it just creates a focal point. And also too, if you take like blue ribbon and you add it throughout the tree, it brings a unity to the tree. A lot of times people say, I have a lot of different ornaments, you know, and ornaments I've collected, and they don't look like, they don't have a unified look at all. So by taking a common element and kind of spacing it like your red maybe throughout the tree, it just brings everything together and really draws the eye in and makes it look beautiful.
Lori Kane, of course, owner at Tree Time Christmas Creations at 22102 North Pepper Road in Lake Barrington. What are your hours? Because people have got to get there now since Thanksgiving is over with. This is when crunch time is. Everybody starts decorating. What are your hours now?
Our hours are on weekdays, 10 to 6, and on weekends, 10 to 5. So we're open 7 days a week. And I believe the last Thursday in November, I think we have one or more of those, we're open till 8. So Thursdays in November, we were open until 8.
And treetime.com, you can find out directions and everything you need to know. And there are so many different things to choose from. Melissa Muhlfeld, owner of Avery Graham Interiors. First of all, where is Avery Graham Interiors?
Well, Avery Graham Interiors is my own business. We're located in Lincoln Park in Chicago.
Do you have a website?
We do, www.averygrahaminteriors.com.
And Lori mentioned putting the picks in the trees or a blue ribbon on a wreath or adding that to your tree. What are other parts of your house that you can decorate for Christmas? You have the mantle, you have the tree. What else can you do?
I think the mantle and the tree, of course. I think if you have a stairway, a banister is a beautiful place to add a garland, maybe with one of those navy blue velvet ribbons or adding some gold in there. That's a great way to do it. I also think an overlooked space is the bathroom. You know, we always put flowers in the bathroom, but adding something for the holidays, you know, a small pine type tree with a navy ribbon or an accent that's carrying through your house, I think that's another good place to
Wendy's got
to
a
add
tree
it.
In her bathroom.
I do, but it's just one of those little silver ones, and you know what? I'm going to put a little navy blue velvet or midnight blue. Doing that this year. I'm going to incorporate blue into my Christmas.
There you go.
Excellent. Lori.
How about some Salson blue in there, Wendy? Wouldn't that be nice? I think they make ornaments.
Lori, thank you so much. It's nice to keep up to date on all these trends that are going on. It is a Tree Time Trend Tuesday with Lori Kane. Go to treetime.com. Lori, thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Oh, thank you, guys. Nice to talk to you.
And Melissa Muhlfeld, what else do we need to know about decorating for the holidays?
Well, I think that one great thing about the holidays is, like Lori was saying, you really can just work with what you already have. Adding in the seasonal greens and some beautiful poinsettias or other flowers to bring in some red along with the blue you might already have in your home, I think that goes a long way. I don't think you have to go out and spend a lot of money, you know, with anything too specialized. I think part of it is just having the scent.
Sure.
And feeling festive.
You know, I feel bad because I admitted off the air that not one of my walls in the house is blue. Mm-hmm. I don't really like blue to decorate. Mm-hmm. But the more I think about it, for accent colors and thinking of that midnight blue, that is really rich and beautiful.
I think it's really beautiful. It's really beautiful with how we were talking about some of the grays that are out. And we're transitioning into some warmer colors, some of the beiges and sort of grays, a combination of beige and gray. You know, the blue consistently, it holds with that transition as well. And then into spring, you can use it, you know, with whites and yellows and bright
crisp
oranges.
Yeah.
And, you know, it really is very versatile.
All right. Well, don't forget, we're giving you the chance to win a $200 Tree Time shopping spree so you can update your holiday decor with your favorite trend. Perhaps you're big on blue. You can enter online at WGNradio.com/contests. And you can reach Melissa Muhlfeld at Avery Graham Interiors, AveryGrahamInteriors.com.
That's right.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Melissa.
Thank you.
All right, that music also means it's a Tech Tuesday. It's a Tree Time Trend Tuesday. It's a Tech Tuesday. It's a
Giving Tuesday.
My God, all the Tuesdays. And now for our Tech Tuesday report.
Tuesday Weld is our guest, Wendy.
Is she still alive?
Yes. Yes.
She is so beautiful.
Yes.
I believe she's on the cover of Matthew Sweet's album, Girlfriend.
I think you're right.
I could be wrong.
Very nice.
All right.
Welcome back.
Bridget Carey, CNET Senior Editor. How are you, Bridget?
I'm still recovering from Cyber Monday or Cyber Week or whatever we're calling it now because it's still going on.
Bridget, I read that America spent $30 bazillion on this. Is this true?
If bazillion gazillion, you mean 7.9 billion.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
We have surpassed our records and even surpassed what they expected the record to be, basically up roughly 20% from last year in terms of spending. Amazon never likes to dish out how much money it makes, but it says it was the biggest shopping day ever with how many items sold. So people bought over 180 million products the 5 days, starting with Thanksgiving all the way through Monday. But people are still, like, I'm still getting things in my inbox about how, like, oh, Cyber Monday, some deal's still there. And there still will be deals. There's still going to be little extra bundles or free shipping every now and again until the holidays, as there always is.
All right, this is where I fell for it, and I'm embarrassed to admit it. My son Dylan is turning sweet 16 on the 13th. He wanted a little record player. You go to Amazon, and it says it's 50% off.
Right.
It's only $60, and he kept saying, Mom, order it early because it's going to go back up in price. I fell for it. I ordered it. Would it have gone back up? Probably not.
Maybe if it went down, it would not be maybe as down. I feel like your deals are the best this past weekend, but some things that were on sale that quickly went out of stock still had somewhat of a sale, but not as good. So you did the right thing. I don't think if you knew it was something you had to get, that was the time to shop, right, for things you know. What people get suckered for is things that maybe they didn't think they ever wanted, but they're like, hey, but it's $40 off. I'm like, well, are you ever going to use it, though?
Nope.
that's what people get mistaken. Right now, if you look at the data from Adobe, they say some of the biggest things sold were the Nintendo Switch, the game console, video game Red Dead Redemption 2, LG TVs, drones, for real pets. It's a hot little toy there.
What is that? Maybe we could get this for Bill since he doesn't like real pets.
What is it?
they are really on the toddler side, I would say, of toys.
That's fine.
That's
perfect. Even more reason to buy one.
They are these little creatures that Hasbro makes. They look like actual little dogs, and they're like robots that come to life, you know, so when you pet them, they make
robot
like
dog.
One of them, that the hot one this year is named For Real Ricky. He's a trick pup, and he eats and then poos.
Yeah.
So now robots
does poo, he eat you know, it like my dog thing. Does now that it's frozen in the yard? I swear poopsicles are very popular in our backyard. I'd do better with a for real pet.
Yeah.
All right. Maybe they're on the same page, yeah.
Do you remember they had that doll that you would feed it and then it would wet its diaper?
Yeah. That was great.
I mean, why do we need to know that much? You don't practice being a parent with a doll that pees.
Nah, I don't know. All right.
And you talked about bots. There are Grinch bots out there trying to ruin your holiday, Bill.
What?
Yeah, it's scary stuff. Okay, so there are programmers who are creating these, they call them bots, but just automated programs that are going and buying all your favorite holiday gifts and getting them out of stock in seconds so they can go scalp them and sell them on eBay for more money. This is, they call them, they're being nicknamed Grinch bots. And there's a bunch of Democratic lawmakers right now that got this proposal in the House calling the Stop Grinch Bots Act. And they're saying, you know, it's, you know, they're kind of trying to stop this whole, you know, system of like going and, oh, if the Nintendo system is hot, let's buy them all up and resell them later. But apparently it's just too fast for anyone to keep up. This was something that was not just done with toys or hot holiday items. It was done in the past with concert tickets or sneakers or other collectible things, you know. But now, you know, now people are kind of realizing this is widespread on all sorts of, you know, aspects of shopping online.
I do remember years and years ago when Cabbage Patch Kids were the hottest toy in the world, people would do that. They'd find a place that just got a shipment, they'd buy 20 or 30 of them and turn around and make a huge profit.
Well, now there's bots who can do hundreds. So it's even more unfair.
Awful.
Okay, now, first of all, Bill is referring to himself and my husband.
Your husband and I opened up a business.
Well, my husband collects Star Wars action figures, and Bill collects toys.
Yeah.
Now, tell me you didn't have a relationship with some of the people at Toys R Us.
I knew some people who worked behind the scenes.
A plethora. You'd buy, like, tons of stuff.
No, I never did. No, I couldn't do that.
All right, because now this
buy
is...
one.
You know, if you go online to like GameStop or Best Buy, they have, you know, limit
special
two
deals,
or whatever.
Right.
But what you're saying, Bridget, is that people can bypass this and go from different accounts and different computers and bypass that limit?
Yeah. What really these online stores need to put more coding in to make those limits harder, you know, for the bots. So what they'll do is they'll bypass it by acting so fast they can act like several different people who have there's a limit of five, but maybe really quickly there'll be five different people, and that's the problem. So it quickly sells out before any of us get a chance to grab it. I mean, I remember my mom stood in line for Power Rangers at KB Toys, and
that's where I met your mom,
like,
for the first time.
Don't bring her mom into
this. She's a nice lady, Wendy. Stop it.
Now you have to camp out on your computer and hope a Grinch bot doesn't steal your place in line, you know. So hopefully they'll put a stop to this, at least make the retailers do more to protect consumers from this practice.
And what's going on with that? I can't even remember the name of it, where the net neutrality, what's ever happened with that?
There's no more neutral net, basically. It's all over. Sometimes you hear a rumbling of a lawmaker trying to fight back, or someone in California trying to do a state law to fight back. But the truth is, right now, the Verizons, the Comcasts, the internet providers do have the right to make deals to provide some services better or different than others to get their customers. So,
has anything changed since that went away? Because I know we were very scared about that.
I think every one of these groups are very slow to act. I think there has been some rumblings of things not being completely fair with charging different customers, but I haven't seen anything blatantly just evil-looking, so to speak, you know, that would get people riled up, because they knew so many eyes were on it. No one like AT&T wanted to look necessarily very bad, but I think we all have to kind of not let our guard down and keep watching out slowly to see what changes over a couple months.
All right, and you had a good tech turkey for Thanksgiving?
Oh, well, a good tech turkey. I mean, I had something that kind of is a turkey-ish thing. I mean, do you want a phone with 16 cameras?
No, what do you need 16 lenses for?
Okay, so right now there's something happening with phones to try to stand out. There was news that Samsung's Galaxy S10 might have six cameras, four on the back, two on the front. But LG just got a patent for a phone with 16 cameras. They kind of would be arranged in a 4x4 matrix on the back. This is all to just do different photo effects to stand out, because that's how desperate we are, Wendy, right now, to stand out with phones, because everything feels the same, nothing is interesting. But hey, if we can get some cool photo effects out of it to show our friends, maybe people will be interested.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, that's good to know. Well, great. Well, thank you, Bridget. You can find her at CNET.com. She's a CNET senior editor, and she is Bridget Carey on this Tech Tuesday.
Say hi to your mom, Bridget.
That sounds dirty.
No, it doesn't.
It sounds like a slam.
Genuine. It's, it's genuine.
All right, Bridget, thank you so much.
Take care, guys.
She's never going to call us back. Coming up, the stories that matter with Steve Bertrand from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom right here on WGN Radio. Steve, thanks. Hi, everybody. It's me, Bill Leff. It's her, Wendy Snyder. We haven't been here for a while, but now we're back. We're back to stay for a very long time.
Well, till next week.
Till about a week. And then we'll take some more time off.
I got to stop hoarding my vacation days because then you have to use them at the end of the year.
Use them or lose them.
That's what they tell me.
That's what they say. So, yeah, so now you have all these days off and take them.
So, are you going to be gone the whole month of December?
You're working one more day, right, between now and the end of the year?
No, that's not true.
How many days?
I'm on for a couple weeks here.
Are you?
Yeah.
I thought you were off Friday.
The 7th.
Oh, yeah, that's a week
I'm off Friday the 7th. What do you want
to
do?
You guys should go to the dog track.
What?
Watch dog racing. That's fun.
That would be the last thing
that
we'd
do. That
would
be so much fun.
I volunteer at the dog track.
Do you?
Yeah. A lot of cleaning to do.
I would imagine.
Mm-hmm. I thought you ran around with a rabbit so they would chase you.
No.
I'm in a rabbit costume.
No.
It's very
Does
effective.
That work?
Dogs go right after him.
It's a short
you gotta
race.
Watch. You got to see it.
So it's like a 10-meter race. Though,
fun to watch.
They catch me.
Hey, can I tell you a story about how sneaky people can be at holiday time?
You know, holidays bring out the best and totally
the
worst of people.
You're right. You're absolutely right. It's become sort of a tradition for one of my daughters and I. My daughter Reese loves to shop. She just is she's a shopaholic. She just loves to shop. So, of course, on Black Friday, she's going to get up early and she's going to shop all day and all night on Black Friday. So I'm not with her during the first part. She usually goes with friends. But then this is the third year in a row that just she and I have gone mid-afternoon. We go to Oak Brook because that's not going to be busy on Black Friday, right?
Although Oak Brook
we're the
is
only
a
ones
different
with that
vibe.
Idea.
Oak Brook is a different vibe than
because
like...
Because why? Because it's open and spread out?
Yeah, and there's more upscale stores there, so you're not going to, you know, it's
right.
Not... I'm sorry, I got to say, there's nothing wrong with going to a Walmart, but a Walmart and Oak Brook Center are two different
it's
things.
It's very different. Right, right, right. So here's what happened. On every store we went into, as Reese would find an item or two that she wanted...
For her or to purchase for other people or both?
Sometimes for herself, sometimes for others, you know? We would look over at the line, and it would be 20 people, 25 people deep. It's the middle of the afternoon on Black Friday. I'm not shocked by it. I've seen it before. Sometimes I would even say to her, if you even think you want something, I'll just stand in line. I don't have any items, but
you
I'll stand
are the
in line.
Best dad
well,
ever.
You know, it makes sense. I'm not trying to, if I am a good dad out of it, good, but I'm just trying to save some time. You know, I'll just stand in line.
Just take the compliment.
But here, well, thank you then. But here's what I noticed, and I saw this happen in two different stores. People see the line that is that deep. It's 20 or 25 people deep, and you say to yourself, I'll do the math. It's going to be 15 minutes, maybe a half an hour in line. So people now have figured out this way to look like they don't know where the line starts or ends and just drift into the line. I saw two people do it. The guy in American Eagle was masterful. I would have called him out on it, but he was so good at this maneuver. He backed into the line. He was like looking at something else, and then all of a sudden from backing in, he was in the line. And the people who were behind him didn't because, you know, you see the people in front of you behind you. You've been, you know, in the line for a few minutes. They just accepted it. They're like, oh, I guess I didn't see him before, even though he was like 6'3".
I hate to admit this, but Jimmy Mack is the king
of all.
He
does that?
He has, I don't know his exact science, but I get really perturbed by it until I am then in line, and then I'm like, oh, thank you. But he, like, kind of juts into a line and talks to the people in front of him.
I've seen that. So then, if you're behind, you go, well, they obviously know each other.
They know him, yeah.
They must know each other.
And he just makes conversation like, wow, you know.
Yeah.
We were at the Second City, and he was waiting. The line for the bar was pretty long, and he just kind of pushed himself in and started talking to the people in front of him.
Like you belong there.
Yeah, and then no one said anything, and I was so mad at him, and I said, God, that is so not right, but hey, you just saved us probably a half an hour.
Well, after watching a woman do it at Aritzia, and she was good at it, but this guy at American Eagle, I wanted to say to him, you should have a blog. I don't know why, but you should teach people how to do what you just did. I couldn't be mad at him because I just marveled at the way he handled it. And he was so good that the people who were behind him who were like, hey, how did this guy get there? He asked them some question. He goes, do you know, are these also buy two, get one free? Because the whole thing, you know, he was
a distraction.
A distraction. He used distraction. So I was happy for him, but I was upset with him. But it's Christmas. You got to let it go. Right?
I'm surprised you didn't say anything. You don't like people that break the rules.
Normally, I do not. Normally not. I also want to say really quickly, you and I discussed this. One of my favorite restaurants in Chicago, Sabatino's, is closing December 23rd.
Did you go yet?
I went on Saturday, and it was a very emotional experience for me.
Aww.
Because I knew this would be the last time I was there. And I kept secretly hoping, Wendy, secretly hoping that something would have gone downhill at Sabatino's so that upon leaving, I'd go, well, you know what? It had a nice run, but it's nowhere near as good as it used to be. But it was just the opposite. It was the best meal I've ever had at Sabatino's. I will miss them tremendously. It was so, every time I'm doing something, I'm like, this is the last time I'm going to order something here. This is rough. Last time I'll have Cherry's flambé at Sabatino's.
You've often spoke of that.
Oh, it's so
good. They prepare
good.
It tableside, they flambé it?
They make it tableside. I will say this. The staff at Sabatino's has been there since you and I were infants. These people, they're lifers. They've been there forever. The guy who was preparing the Cherry's flambé had the look of, I hope so badly that this is the last one of these I'll ever have to do. He was so beyond the preparation of the Cherry's flambé. It tasted better than ever, but you could just see it in his eyes like, I've done over 30,000 of these in my years here. I don't ever want to see Cherry's or flambé again. I just want to get this done.
Man, I have, honest to God, I've
never been there.
I've never even heard of it. I feel so terrible, so I'm not going to rush to get in because I want the people.
Yeah.
Like, my father-in-law is like, did you hear about Sabatino's? And I'm like, yes, but I'm not familiar. He's like, what do you mean? You're Italian. I said, I'm sorry. I never ventured out there. But so the people who want to go deserve the chance
to
go.
They were filled to the rafters.
I know.
Did you go, Bill?
Yeah,
finally?
I finally got in Saturday.
Good. What'd you order? What was your last order?
This Saturday.
Are you going to go?
Yeah.
My wife and I split shrimp de jong and lasagna. We did the 50-yard line on those two.
I love doing the half and half.
It was so good. Everything. And it's one of these places, Kim, you know, because you've been there. They just keep bringing food, and sometimes you go, I didn't order this.
I know.
Just eat it.
It doesn't matter. Just eat it.
They just bring you stuff.
And I heard you talking about the desserts. Did you have the baked Alaska by chance?
The people we were with had the baked Alaska.
What is baked Alaska?
It's Alaska that's baked, don't you know?
No one knows. If someone can just tell me what it is.
It's basically layered ice cream with meringue on the outside, and then they toast the meringue. I don't
just
even like baked
like
Alaska,
it.
But their baked Alaska was
so
unbelievable.
Aren't
they
you amazed?
Fudge sauce on there. Oh,
the fudge sauce. Aren't you amazed, Kim, that Sabatino's didn't go up in flames years ago? Because they do these tableside presentations of food, and you just go, the fire marshal must be looking the other way on this, because this can't be. It's like a volcano just an inch away from me.
That's why I probably never went there. I wore so much hairspray in the 80s and 90s that I would have been flambé.
Flambé Wendy.
All right, here's what, according to Martha Stewart, baked Alaska is an old-fashioned dessert which originated at New York City's Delmonico's restaurant to commemorate the purchase of Alaska in 1867.
Oh.
It's become popular again. It's an ice cream cake covered with an igloo of meringue emerging from an oven. So it's a baked ice cream.
Igloo of meringue for baked Alaska? Wow.
Huh.
Yep.
I don't know that I'd like that.
You would try it, though, if you had some,
I would try it.
Right?
It's good. I mean, and it depends, too. Sometimes they layer it with weird flavors of ice cream.
Yeah.
You know, because I don't like fruity ice cream, and sometimes they'll put strawberry and stuff in there, but this one was just delicious.
It looked good. Like I said, my friends had it, and it looked really good. But if you try some of that, you got to offer them some of the Cherry's flambé, and you know me.
That's you don't like to share with anybody but a family member.
Did you do Bananas Foster, too?
Not this time, but in the past.
Is that on fire, too?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. Well, they have little
everything's
torches,
on fire.
Watch
tabletop
where you walk
torches.
Sabatino's.
Right.
No, they just kind of do it with a match and it just lights up.
But there's no downtime. Like, you have to be on high alert from the time you walk in the door because there's a potential fire hazard at every table. But that's what makes it so much fun.
And exciting.
The adventure. You go for the adventure of it all. But I'm so sad that, and I'm trying to, I want to talk, like, I'm talking to the waiter, I'm trying to talk him out of it, and he's like, you can't, I have no say in this, I'm a waiter.
And the owners. I mean, they just don't want to do it anymore.
The owners have said, after years and years and years and years, we've had our fill of it, the kids don't want the business, so.
Because it's a 24/7 thing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I always wanted to own a restaurant, and then everyone who has opened a restaurant explains that it really is 24/7.
Yeah.
I mean, you're constantly working on it. If staff doesn't show up, you're there all right. the time.
Right.
I can see where, you know, they've had a good run. They right. want to enjoy the rest of their lives now. Yeah.
Who's going to get, Kim, the plastic ivy and grapes that are on the walls? Because I wanted to put in a bid for there's plastic ivy on the walls and
Chicago
grapes.
Is there a Chicago restaurant museum? Maybe we should open one and they should put that in there. There's lots
there
of things
should
that
be.
Could go in there.
Yep.
How do you dust those things? Because every time I have like fake fruit.
People don't.
It gets, the dust becomes seasoned, you know, like a cast iron pan becomes right. seasoned.
Yeah.
The dust just adds to the ambiance.
It's like when they make sourdough bread and they take the germ of yesterday's bread. That's somehow going on with the decor there. I can't explain it. It just works.
That is the coolest thing. Someone in my neighborhood, they keep passing around the spawn of their sourdough
yeah.
bread, and I want in on it.
No.
They just, it's in like a dish in their yeah. refrigerator, and then when it puffs up, they bake some of it.
Yeah.
And
like
they just add
project.
More yeast and flour, and this thing keeps going. I want in. It's alive.
It is alive. I know. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. We've got more show for you. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Hey, Bears fans. Are you a Bears fan yet?
I have to be honest. While you were gone, I confessed I've made a horrible mistake. The Bears are actually a pretty solid team. I was wrong.
Mark that down.
I was in shock, but I'm doing it.
Yeah.
I'm doing it.
Wow.
I've watched the last two games. I'm impressed.
Will you go rub Mitch wrong. Trubisky's shoulder?
If that's what it takes to get him back in the lineup, I will gladly.
I don't want him back too soon, though.
No, you want to wait.
Yeah. You know what? I wouldn't even ask you to be a Packers fan right now.
You can't. No, not right now.
Not never.
Not right now.
Kim, I love you. And I know that.
I was so ready. I filled out the application, Wendy.
You look stupid in yellow and green.
I look like a giant can of Sprite.
Yes, you do.
I do.
All right. Well, hey, Bears fans, including Bill left.
Including
it's so
me now.
Exciting.
I can't say fan. Let's say enthusiast. Because I feel I don't want to jump on the bandwagon just because they're doing well. I'm
driving
the
stinking bandwagon. I'll let you on.
But no, it's wrong. Because I said some horrible things about I've been saying bad things about them for the past 10 years. So I'm watching the games. I'm enjoying what I'm seeing. But I have no right to call myself a Bears fan. I can't.
You are tough, man.
Yeah.
Enter for your chance to win two spots on the all-inclusive Bears fan trip. Not enthusiast trip.
No, a fan trip.
To Cancun at chicagotribune.com/monster giveaway, courtesy of the Chicago Tribune. Speaking of giving things away.
Let's give it away right now.
Give it away.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah.
All right. Well, here's a fun little something. Do you know Uncle Julio's?
Yes. I've been there. There's one in Old Orchard.
They have a piñata, chocolate piñata.
Yeah. It's pretty good.
I've witnessed it at another table, but
yeah.
I want it.
Yeah.
Uncle Julio's made from scratch Mexican wanted to be part of this Giving Tuesday. So we have some giveaways. Look at the phones are already gone.
People
they don't
want,
even wait.
They want it.
You can try Uncle Julio's new lunch refresh bowls. They're handcrafted with mesquite grilled steak or shrimp, braised pork, or sautéed pulled chicken to revitalize your day.
Mm.
I wish we had some right now,
mm.
but we don't. We have a $100 gift card to Uncle Julio's made from scratch Mexican. And if you'd like it, go ahead.
What caller number ocho.
Eight.
Oh, Wendy. Very good.
Eight at, I forgot the phone number. I haven't been here in a while.
En Espanol?
Uno, dos. Tres, uno, dos.
Mm-hmm. Si.
Nueve, ocho, uno, siete, dos, zero, zero.
Very good. I thought I'd get you on the zeros, but no.
No, I took French, too, so that was very good.
Wonderful.
Actually, we have two.
What?
We have dos.
All right.
Because we weren't here yesterday.
Ocho y nueve.
So callers 8 and 9 at 312-981-7200. Gracias, Señor Bill.
$100 each?
Yes.
That's tremendous.
$100 gift card.
Wow. That's
Uncle
great.
Julio's. Yum, yum, give me some. .com.
That's their website? That's not their website. It's UncleJulio's.com. All right. Yeah. Call right now, 8 or 9 at 312-981-7200, and you'll win the $100 gift certificate from Uncle Julio's.
And please get a chocolate pinata.
Yeah.
Because it's fun.
Owe it to yourself.
Yum, yum, give me some.com.
I'm not sure that's their website.
All right.
Pretty
and
sure.
Can I just also throw this in? Because I'm going to be listening tomorrow.
Yeah.
The Steve Cochran Show.
What happened?
Oh, this is for tomorrow.
Bad news?
He has free Chicago Blackhawks Winter Classic jerseys.
Oh, that's great news.
So be listening tomorrow from 6 to 10 a.m. to win.
Yeah.
I'm going to listen.
Yeah.
And call in.
Good luck.
All right. We'll find out who won the Uncle Julio's Uno Momento.
Very good. Very good. It's all coming up next.
Très bien.
Bill and Wendy.
Oh, no, that's
French.
French.
That's French. All right. WGN.
All right. And we need to congratulate some people. We had a $100 gift card to Uncle Julio's Made from Scratch Mexican. This is $100. This is a huge prize.
What is that in pesos, Wendy? Can you do the quick?
No.
You can't?
No. Okay. You can try Uncle Julio's new lunch refresh bowls, handcrafted with mesquite grilled steak or shrimp, braised pork or sauteed pulled chicken to revitalize your day. And we wanted to know who you would have lunch with, living or dead. So our first winner is Nancy from Arlington Heights. Hi, Nance. How are you?
Hi, how are you?
$100, Uncle Julio's. Who would you have lunch with?
You.
With you, Wendy. That's
I'll
our
go
number
with
one
you.
Answer.
I'll go with you.
All right.
Are you
right.
living or dead, Wendy?
I'm dead.
You're dead? That's so sad.
Inside.
Oh, that's awful. That's so sad.
All right. Well, hang on a second. Congratulations. We'll set you up with a $100 gift card.
Thank you. I enjoy your show every day.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Nancy. And Jim, who would you like to have lunch with, living or dead?
I just chose the first person off the top of my head. I said Dolly Parton. She seems like an excellent
lunch
date. Very friendly.
Yep.
Doesn't she? I mean,
she'd be a good time. Well, congratulations, Jim. We'll set you up with a $100 gift card to Uncle Julio's. More to give away tomorrow. And maybe we'll ask this on the air, and the most intriguing answer can score Uncle Julio's. Oh, I love Molly Hatchet. In fact, there's a Southern Rock cruise that I should go on. Molly Hatchet, Marshall Tucker Band. All I do is watch Access TV now.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's it? That's your station?
Yeah. I mean, Dan Rather at the interview show with all these musicians, he interviewed the Wilson sisters, both of them. It was really intriguing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, just behind the records, there was a Queen special.
Uh-huh.
I just love it. And then they're advertising this cruise, this Southern Rock cruise.
And it's who? It's Molly Hatchet.
Molly Hatchet, Marshall Tucker Band.
Yeah.
I think it's just the roadie from the Marshall Tucker Band.
Still,
no, I'm kidding.
That would still be
Might
fun.
Be the drummer.
Yeah.
I can't even remember who else
is there.
And
when is it?
I'm really not going to go.
But you're thinking, you considered
Dickie
it.
Dickie Betts will be there.
Dickie Betts.
I always wanted to go on a cruise with Dickie Betts.
Yeah, why not?
And then there's another cruise that has Todd Rundgren. This is kind of a cruise made for me.
Yeah.
This isn't like a retirement cruise. This would be like a rock and roll cruise.
All right.
I'm going to use some of my vacation time next year.
Take the rock and roll cruise. That sounds like fun.
How many days do you give me before I jump overboard?
A day and a half. I think you'd last a day and a half.
I think I'd last two.
I bet the buffet would be fun. On that cruise.
Shots of whiskey.
That's it. That's all you get.
And cold pizza.
Yeah, that's it. That's all people need. Wendy, there has been a study published by the Journal of Consumer Affairs in which they say they have figured out the thing that you can say or do to a loved one if that person has a smoking problem. Say you're married to somebody.
If they smoke.
Yeah. Well, that's a problem. Smoking's a problem, don't you think?
Yes.
I think it's a problem. So let's say you're in a relationship with somebody, and that somebody smokes, and you want them to get them to stop smoking. What do you think would be the most effective thing you could do to get your loved one to stop?
Take a pin and poke holes in all their cigarettes.
Really? Yeah. That's not in the journal, but that's somebody... Have you experienced that? Have you done that to somebody, or has somebody done that to you?
I've thought of that.
Just put holes in their cigarettes.
Yeah, because then they couldn't. It wouldn't draw.
But smokers would find a way. They would buy more cigarettes. Pack, yeah. They would just go, these are faulty. My Benson and Hedges are faulty. I must get new ones.
Punch them every time you see them smoking?
The Journal of Consumer Affairs said you should punch your loved one if they're smoking, and that will make them stop.
You know, people who smoke know they shouldn't be smoking.
Right.
So I think that until someone decides they want to quit, I don't think anything...
It doesn't matter what you say or do to them.
I don't think, but what does the Consumer Affairs place say?
They say that what you need to do is let the person know how their smoking affects you. Like, don't talk. Everybody always does the same thing. You know that's killing you, right? You know that's going to cause cancer. You know this is going to screw up your lungs. But they say that once you're that into the smoking, that it doesn't even matter anymore. But once you impress upon them the idea that your smoking is ruining me or my life, that might be the difference. Do you agree with that or disagree?
Well, that makes sense where you're trying... Because a lot of times people do what they want to do, but if you're going to be helping someone else...
Maybe that'll trigger something in your head.
So give me an example. Like, what would you say?
I would say, I don't care if you die from cigarettes, but I'm going to die. Please stop smoking.
I don't know if you worded... Is that how they tell you to word
it? Yeah, and those are the... That's the script that they send you.
I don't think that's going to work.
There was a
time... I don't care about you.
I don't care about you.
But I care about me. Okay, you Mr. Narcissist.
Smokey Smokeheimer, but I'm going to die also. All right, when I was a kid, my grandfather had lung cancer from smoking, right? They thought he was going to die, and they took him into the hospital, and they had to take out one of his lungs because of all the smoking. At the party, when he got home... I look into the dining room, and my dad, my aunt, several of my cousins and aunts and uncles, they're all talking about how lucky they are that my grandfather didn't die, and they're all smoking while they're having this discussion.
They had a lucky strike, though. There was a tie-in.
I guess. But even though I was a child, yeah, I was like 9 years old, and I wanted to say to you guys, you get the irony of this, right? You're all sitting around a table talking about how lucky he is to have beat cancer from smoking while you're all smoking.
That is weird.
Well, awful.
At that point, you feel like I cheated death. I'm done.
Well, yeah, I would say, boy, I just watched somebody close to me come within an inch of dying, and they pulled the guy's they took his lung out because he couldn't breathe anymore.
They didn't pull it out.
Yeah, they pulled it out through his nose. That's the way they used to do it, Wendy. Isn't that crazy?
Yes,
that
is.
Somebody said it'd be easier to make an incision by the lung, and so they do it that way now. But back then, through the nose. But I don't understand. Like, I understand that addiction is a horrible, horrible thing. But no matter how horrible something is, you got to go, if I keep doing this, I'm going to die.
I know, because it's going to happen.
Yeah.
By the way, someone has texted, you don't poke holes in cigarettes, you poke holes in the condoms. Sorry, I got that confused.
So if you want someone to quit smoking, you poke holes in their condoms. I'm not sure that's going to work.
If the smoker still doesn't care if another person's health is affected, he or she is not going to quit. I live with one of those. It sucks. Now, here's the thing. Does anyone smoke inside anymore?
Yeah, sometimes.
Honestly, that is so foreign to even think about.
It's their house. You can't tell them to not smoke in their own house.
Yeah, but I don't know. People still smoke inside their own house anymore.
Sometimes. Yeah. Yeah.
That's rough. I mean, my mom never smoked. She might have had a couple of cigarettes in her
20s. Did she really?
I don't know. But I mean,
can't envision your mom with a cigarette in her mouth. That just doesn't...
She may have, you know, peer pressure. I don't know.
Now, cigars, I see her smoking all the time.
she did smoke those.
She always had a cigar going.
But my aunt smoked constantly, and aunt.
Oh, she did.
And I never wanted to go in her car because her car stunk. And then I started smoking later in life.
Even after that.
I know. I hated it. I was the one that's like, I'm not going. Get another car. Rent a car. I can't go in her car.
And then you still smoked.
It was so weird.
Do you remember a chain of stores they used to have in malls called the Tinderbox?
Yeah.
All right. So the Tinderbox was mostly cigars and cigarettes, but they also had a gift section. So, like, if it was Father's Day or something, you'd go in. If you wanted a statue of Harpo Marx for your dad.
You're right.
Right? Right? They had a whole bunch of those. Like, it was Humphrey Bogart, but it was like a caricature where his head was really big and his trench coat was really small. So, like, a couple times a year, I'd go into the tinderbox in Lincoln Mall when I worked there to look for a gift for my dad. And then I'd come out, and for 3 weeks, people would go, "Did you just smoke?" And I go, "No, I don't smoke." "No, because something smells like you were smoking." Just from, you'd absorb.
They smoked in there?
Oh, in the tinderbox? Yeah, everybody did. Like, the people who worked there, customers, babies, dogs, everybody was in there smoking.
Because there was one at North Riverside, and when I worked at the Gap, I would go to the tinderbox to buy cigarettes, and yeah. I liked their matchbooks.
Why?
Or a little box. They had a little box.
Oh.
Tinderbox.
Like yeah.
And I'm like, these are cool matches.
Yeah.
That was very
But you didn't
exciting.
Notice when you'd walk in, like, there was like a, you'd cross the plane, and as soon as you'd walk in there, everybody smelled like the Marlboro Man. Everybody.
There was one time, I went to Vegas one time in my life with the Kevin Matthews Show, and at the Vegas airport, there is like a fishbowl.
It's an aquarium of death.
It is, about the size of this beautiful studio,
yeah.
And it's all glassed in so people can look at you, point, and shame you.
It's the
and
worst.
I smoked then, and I'm like, thank God, I don't, you know, I can't get past security, so I'm just going to go in here and have a cigarette. I smoked and couldn't stand it. It was disgusting.
I always think they should use that as the poster for not smoking, is the McCarran Airport smoking lounge. Because it is. It's clear glass. And every once in a while, you'll see a body part and a guy just like puffing on a cigarette.
A body part?
Yeah, because it's so smoky. When you look through the glass, you go, I think that's an arm or something. It's a guy smoking in there. I can see him.
All right. Well, people have thoughts about what's the organization that says just guilt people?
It's the Journal of Consumer Affairs. They say, they maintain, the best way to get a loved one to stop smoking is not tell them how bad it is for them, but how bad it is for you. Will that work?
We'll find out. 312-981-7200.
Now, it ain't cause that I don't smoke myself, and I don't reckon they hinder your health. I've smoked them all my life, and I ain't dead yet. But nicotine slaves are all the same at a petting party or a poker game. Everything's got to stop while they have that cigarette.
This should be our national anthem.
I think I'll hear this on the Molly Hatchet booze
on the cruise. They'll play this.
Yeah. Somebody says, I have a dream that one day people will be judged by the content of their character and not by the color of their lungs.
Wow. That right. was deep.
There was a new study that said you should guilt people into quitting.
Yeah. They had this paper published in the Journal of Consumer Affairs saying that the best way to get somebody you care about, I don't know why they stressed it that way. This should work for everybody. If somebody's smoking and you tried everything to get them to stop smoking, what you want to say is, all right, I get it. You don't care about yourself, but think about me for a minute. The secondhand smoke is killing me. The fact that I am your husband or your wife and you're going to die, that's affecting me. It's affecting our kids. It's affecting everybody around you. That might be the key to getting them to quit.
All right, how about this? Someone has texted us, speaking of kids, to get my dad to quit smoking, my mom taped a picture of my siblings and myself onto the bottom of the ashtrays in our house. So every time my dad wanted to smoke, he would see his kids.
Wow.
And it worked.
You're putting out ashes on your kids, a picture of your kids.
I would have just gotten another ashtray.
Very resourceful.
Now, Doug has something interesting, which is something people are dealing with today. Hey, Doug, how's it going?
Well, and you?
Good. What do you got for us?
So, well, I've got a guy at work insists on vaping inside. Claims that he's not hurting anybody, and I told him, not to do it, so he just finds more creative places to go and do it. And the unfortunate thing is we have our coat rack in the break room, so he goes back there, and I've got a Canada Goose, which is hung back there, and I told him if I ever smell his vaping on it, he's going to be buying me a brand new one, and he's going to be out of a job.
All right, can I just say something? Vaping hasn't been around long enough to know the effects of it. Cigarettes have been around a long time. Vaping, I have a feeling
there's something in there
that they're going to find out something later on down the road that they're just as dangerous as cigarettes. And it's not fair for somebody to do that inside because that vape is not, it's secondhand smoke. I just don't think that's fair. No smoking inside.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I just really can't stand it. So,
So are you able to either reason with him or go to somebody higher up and say, you got to do something, we can't have this continue?
Sent down an email to the entire staff, and this is a guy who thinks the rules don't apply to him. He's 23, acts like an idiot every day, and don't know how he still has a job, but because he has blatant disregard for everything. Hmm. So none of the rules apply to him, according to him.
Horrible.
All right, well, yeah. that stinks. Doug, thank you for sharing that. Kathy's on the line. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, Wendy. How are you? Bill, hi.
Hi.
Good.
What's up, Kath?
Well, I am a smoker. I am a heavy smoker. Yeah. I live in a condo by myself. I smoke in my condo. I just bought a very expensive air purifier that seems to be working well, and I know for a fact if my kids said to me, you're hurting me, it wouldn't matter.
It
would not matter to me. I have to be the one to decide for myself when I'm going to stop smoking, and I don't want to stop smoking. I'm addicted. I fully cop to the fact that I'm addicted.
Yeah.
But that thing you read, Wendy, about I have a dream, I love it. Can you read it one more time?
I have a dream that people will be judged on their character, not on the color of their lungs.
Thank you. I am so sick and tired of being judged because I'm one of those horrible smokers.
That is something that is not fair. If people choose, you know, eating bacon is not good for you either, and some
there
people eat bacon
Thank
every
you.
Day.
But, Thank Kath, you. What about this? I just met you a minute ago. I like you. You seem like a very sensible, smart, nice person, but this is going to kill you. This will eventually kill you. You know that, right?
I understand that. And I have been smoking for 50 years. I went and had one of those fancy-dancy scans a year ago.
Yeah.
The doctor said to me, I have seen fewer lesions on lungs of people who never smoked than I have on yours.
I am amazed.
So, but that's not to say that tomorrow lesions could appear. I really am not stupid.
Yeah.
I am addicted, terribly, terribly addicted.
But if one, you just mentioned you have kids, if one of them, I don't know if they smoke or not, but wouldn't you want it? They don't. Aren't you thrilled that they don't?
I am thrilled that they don't. I know this is going to sound really stupid, but when they were kids, I thought, okay, I'm going to keep smoking, and they'll see how disgusting it is, and they never will.
Yeah.
Same thing with swearing. I'm gonna keep swearing, and they'll see how bad it is. Well, they picked up the swearing.
Yeah, mine did, too. I backfired on that one.
See? But, yeah, they do not smoke. One of them tolerates it. He'll even be in the car with me when I'm smoking. The other one wants nothing to do with me, either at the condo, if he's here, you know, or in the car. He doesn't want me smoking. So, again, it's all an individual thing, and I can't emphasize enough how badly I feel when people judge me because I'm a smoker.
And you shouldn't see, that's not fair either. People make bad choices every day.
Yes,
but but the judgment comes from us not wanting to lose you.
You don't even know her.
Yes,
you do. We met a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, we
I
did.
Was there on a WGN tour with my son.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. You stole my purse and took a picture with it.
Bill will kill you if it's not the cigarettes.
One of my favorite memories of my life because I just adore you two.
Oh, thank you.
Well, thank you. And I just don't think it's fair for people to, they're a nice person, but she's a smoker.
Right.
People make their own choices and smoke them if you got them, Kath.
All right.
Thank you, Wendy. I love you both.
Thank you, Kathy.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
It does suck. People get judged a lot.
Sure,
and,
of course.
Know, we all do bad things.
But you know that judgment legitimately comes from a good place where people go, I don't want to see that person perish because they keep smoking, you know?
Yeah, but if you see someone who's a terrible driver, do you tell them to take an Uber?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. And I give them cigarettes. I go, here's some Tarentons. Coming up, the stories that matter with Kim Gordon from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio.